am I a geek? A couple of my friends looked at this question, this thorny issue, am I a geek? And they decided, no, geeks have more things going for them. Somehow I didn't even make the grade of being a geek, although they would pay that my interests are quite geeky. And some of them are. I tend to revel in the technology of the everyday, that just the ordinary things which have a huge technological tail to them. And so I think myself, and I'm not part of the geek community, but geeks as well, have such a fantastic time at this point of history, because we've got so much geeky technology. Not all of it's going to survive to the coming years, but some of it's there. What struck me recently was carbonless copy paper, the fact that there's nanocapsules, encapsulation of dye, which gets pressed out. It's, you know, that blew my brain. And what's always blown my brain is, on many, many different angles, is the Humble fridge magnet. You can say laugh all you like, but this is what this podcast is going to be about. This is Peter Hill Explains, where we enter into a conversation about things scientific. I have a go at explaining things, you have a go at listening and understanding them, and we both go away and sort of learn a little bit more. So I want to talk about fridge magnets. Fridge magnets have always fascinated me. You might pick up one or pick up two and hold them at the moment. Now, the interesting thing about them is that compared to normal magnets, the magnetic field is only on one side of the fridge magnet. Aha, that's interesting. Yeah, how do you get magnetic field? It's fairly thin. You can stop a magnetic field dead by putting an iron nail across it. So if you've got a horseshoe magnet, you can get all the magnetic field to travel between the two poles of the horseshoe by putting a plate on it. And that conserves the magnetic field. It stops it straying or anything like that. But that's not true in a fridge magnet. Now, let's stop for a moment about the magnetic field. I was a bit of a killjoy at young, looking at Bugs Bunny and the various Looney Tunes cartoons. I think there was even a Superman cartoon in which they had a gigantic magnet, and they'd just point the magnet, and the magnetic field from a horseshoe magnet would be able to travel down the axis and pull things from a long distance away. And I thought, no, look, that's not correct. And the horseshoe magnet has a magnetic field which travels more or less across from one pole to the other, between the north and the south, between the two parts of the horseshoe, and not beyond, outwards, you know, particularly much this design of a horseshoe magnet. It certainly wasn't necessarily designed to do that. There you can go, isn't that geeky and poor? But then the fridge magnets, the magnetic field's only on one side. Scratch your head, how do they do that? And then we put the fridge magnets together, and you see that they're in long strips. If you put one on top of the other, you put it over, you can feel that it's north-south, north-south. It's a north-south alternating strip. And, you know, what is that about? So there's two aspects to it in terms of the actual nature of magnetic fields, but the actual structure of fridge magnets. So at the moment, we're just going to accept the fact that you can make something magnetic which isn't carrying current, is non-conductive. You can make something magnetic. Obviously, that's true with the fridge magnet. So the fridge magnet is an array of alternating strips of north and south, and if you put one on top of the other, you can feel the two, and you can slip the two along the grain of the field, and if you pull it across the grain, it will repel for a little bit and then slam together. The satisfying as you pull it apart, you can feel it there. Many devices in that. I am sure there are many potential devices. We haven't only scratched the surface. This is a bit of head scratching, and this is something you can look up, and it's called the Hall-Bush effect, and that's where you have a rotating array of magnets. And so and what this does is, by having a rotating array of magnets, it tends to push the field up to one side of the magnet and the array and cancel it off the other side. Something very powerful. So this is a way of stacking magnets which can make them twice as powerful on one side and stop them being powerful on the other side. So for the same amount of magnet stuff, you can rearrange your magnetic field such you've got more power in your fridge magnet. So that's quite an interesting thing to do, and obviously very useful in anywhere you have to deploy magnets, say in motors or anything like that. So let's have a look at what happens in the fridge magnet. So the fridge magnets are, if you like, a sawtooth array of magnets, a triangular array. So if you look at the top of the magnet and the bottom of the magnet, imagine a sawtooth going up and down, breaking it into triangle cross-section. I think I've said that reasonably well. That's sort of a corrugated array inside the magnet. So the magnet's a uniform slab, but inside the array, the fields have varied domains, which is all pointed in one particular direction. Damn me if I could actually think how they actually manufacture fridge magnets. I'm going to have to look up on it. So if I have... let's try and rebuild this in your brain. So if I have in front of me, just in cross-section, an array of right-angle triangles. So they've got a hypotenuse and the right-angle is at the top, and I put the little tip of the right-angle at the top, and I sort of draw a line, and I put all the hypotenuse together, and I will get one triangle, a second triangle, and I should be able to put my finger on the top of that right-angle. Ouch, ouch, ouch. And you can see there's a gap in there between those two peaks, and I can put another upside down right angle triangle in between those. So one, two, three, rotated through. So you're going to have to try and imagine it. So I've got two hypotenuse on either side, and the apexes, the 90 degrees are on the top surface, bottom surface, top surface, bottom surface. And in there I put magnets, and we'll start off with an upside down magnet with a north pole facing upwards, and it goes down in a triangular one to the south pole. And the next magnet along, I actually orient the magnetic field aligned to the hypotenuse, going from south to the north to the south. And then I then put the north to that, in that second triangle, I arrange it so the magnetic field is facing to the north to south aligned along the bottom of the hypotenuse. So the magnetic field initially was pointing vertically up. Now the magnetic field is pointing from right to left. So what happens is the south field tends to go straight into that north field, carried along the magnet, and then is pushed out to the next magnet along. So we're first magnet, second magnet, third magnet. We have it reversed. The south field at the top. This is a downwards pointing magnet. So this is on the hypotenuse. It's south. On the bottom, it's north. But that north field at the base is encountered the south of that magnet. And the next magnet further on, the fourth magnet is also one, but this time it's facing south to north. So if you just look at that third magnet, the third magnet has a south pole at the top hypotenuse, a north pole at the base, and that north pole is feeding into two south poles of those bottom triangular magnets. As you follow along, if you look at the actual, those magnetic arrows there, the arrow is rotating. In this case, the way that I've got it rotating, it's rotating in the anti-clockwise direction as you move from left to right. And it has the effect of reducing the field, extending out, and pumping it back into the magnets. So it's a sort of a magnetic coupling which pushes the field out to one side of the magnet. So that's problem solved. Overall, and it's called the Hallbach effect, discovered almost by accident in the 70s. So, you know, I was alive for a while, and they discovered it, and it's sort of really changed our ability. We can make fridge magnets where we can magically double the field and put the magnetic property onto one side of the magnet. Now, in motors, rather than have a little triangular section, we can have actual blocks or wedges, and the blocks have, say, as we go across, we imagine a couple of blocks. I'm going to put, I'm going to say it'll be up, left, down, right. The north faces up. The next block is the north faces right. Next one is north faces down. And then the next point is the north faces right. The north faces up. And have it rotate like that. And that will actually build up the magnetic field on one side of the set of magnets. So this is a very useful way of doubling the magnetic power of your magnets. And this allows you to very lightly get twice the magnetic field for half the weight inside your Tesla car or anything like that. So it's a fairly big discovery. Now, that's just in my geek world wanting to discuss fridge magnets. The other thing with fridge magnets, I'm only going to touch on it lightly, is that there's no... Even in neodymium magnets are ceramic. They look silvery on the outside, that's because they're plated, but the inside, they're actually a nanomaterial of obviously neodymium and a few other materials put together, and they're heated and sintered in a field. And so they're actually ceramic. So if you were to get one and smash it with a hammer, you'd have to put eye protection on it. It will break up into little flaky bits. And those bits will be magnetic. But that's a interesting thing. They don't carry currents. There is no electric current in our dimensions of our universe. Or obviously in our universe, but in our sort of classical world, classical physics can't really get in and describe how a fridge magnet works. Sort of classical physics into special relativity can start to describe how magnets works. Now, this is something to get your brain around, that a magnetic field is an electric field in another frame of reference. And so this is true. The magnetic field arrives from length contraction. I'm not making this up. You can actually look this up on the net, and I sort of discovered this in horror in a general relativity exam. It said, prove it. And I went, what? And they had to prove that E transferred to B on a change of references. I don't know how we actually got that out in the special the general relativity exam. However, looking into this, you have negative and positive charges attracting to each other, and you have currents travelling in wires. And if you move into the frame of reference of the wire, the wire that you're looking at contracts and exposes a positive charge, and that's actually truly does happen. And I can't really, I'm not up to podcasting that at this point in time. This is, I'll get strung up alive if I tried to podcast that. But it's true that electromagnets are direct proof of special relativity. And you can't really say that in an exam, but that is absolutely true. And, you know, when I was an examiner, people would know these weird answers and would know to go up to ask me, is this possibly true? And in general, I'd try as hard as possible to see it. But then I'm not in the examination circuit, so it's really dangerous telling kids this, but electromagnets are direct proof of special relativity. Magnets, where the magnets are due to the magnetic field of individual electrons and the orbits of individual electrons in atoms, is a direct consequence of quantum mechanics, and you have to go in and do quantum mechanics, and the actual origin of a magnetic field in quantum mechanics is very, very deep. It's the origin of spin and other basic quantum mechanical properties of objects. It's a very intense thing to do. So you can imagine when I saw a fridge magnet, well, everyone's seen a fridge magnet, but pick it up and actually contemplate the depth of science that you're holding inside your hand, in that you're holding basically a spinning magnet. The north spins gracefully to south, spins gracefully to a north, and in doing so, it makes sure that the field is exposed at only one surface only. There's a whole heap of other magnetic properties which are really interesting to understand, and also understand of this Hallbach effect and how that can help you generate a one-sided magnetic field, and also help you generate a very uniform magnetic field, which is sort of like so incredibly interesting to actually generate. So there's devices out there to invent, and like we're living in the afterglow of one really basic, and all these beautiful inventions that are all around us, but we very rarely know completely about it. Thanks for listening. I hope that you're able to actually construct these rotating magnets in your head, and you've got your rotating magnets. When I say rotating magnets, the actual magnet moves spatially and rotates, so it's translated and rotated along its direction. But hopefully you doing some science, you'll think about it and help teach science down the track. Thanks for listening.